when I'm alone in the dark night. I think of them that's passed by. They say to me, boy, don't you worry, gonna see you when time be right. We gonna have a party, we gonna have a show, and we're gonna drink forevermore. And when I find all my old friends, we're gonna play till the cow comes.
Oh yeah, yes! Once again, we have returned. Just like the Dark Knight striking up only when there's trouble. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
You guys are listening to Carolyn and Joe Show. Hey, everybody. My name is Joe Carabe. I'm a filmmaker, a photographer, a writer. Specifically, I'm also in the band Monday Mistress. But today, I'm a podcaster. And across from me is one of the greatest people I've ever met in my whole entire life. The wonderful, the super talented, always on the fringe of all the stuff that's cool, Carolyn Bilewski. How you doing, Carolyn?
I'm doing good.
All right.
I'm a little throaty for some reason. I don't know why. It's always like, I guess we're recording this at nighttime, and right for the past few days, like right before I go to bed, and also in the moments after waking up, I just feel very, very throaty. I'm trying to drink a lot of water. I don't know if you can tell it in my voice. I'm trying to like speak very clearly, but I'm not like sick or anything, but something's in my throat, like a frog or something.
Who knows, man? Who really knows?
Or gnome.
No one.
Trying
no one
to get
really
my
knows.
Heart. But it's just like, yeah, I don't really know what's going on. I feel, I guess, a little tired, but I'm not like sick. So, and I've been like, actually, it's funny because just a few days ago, I was like patting myself on the back. And always when you pat yourself on the back, it always flips around. But I was like, man, I haven't been sick in like over a year. That's awesome. Like, I don't remember the last time I felt like truly sick. Might have been a while ago. But yeah, I was like, jeez, I'm taking so much good care of myself and all that. And then it comes back around.
That's usually
a couple
days
later.
That's the way, isn't it?
I know. I still feel like I've been taking decent care of myself for the past like year and a half. Been pretty good to myself for the most part, so that's exciting. And I'm, you know,
that's exciting.
I mean, that's exciting to like, you know, how you don't want to get like to sick to the point where you're like can't move and you're like I don't want to leave the bed. Then that's horrible.
That's,
you know,
that's the worst feeling possible. And what is to look forward to when you get up anyway?
Yeah. I know. I did miss like a wrestling pay-per-view because like I actually don't know what was wrong with me. I must have like eaten something that didn't sit very well. I forget which pay-per-view I missed. It was last year, but I was basically like puking up a storm, and I like seriously didn't feel like we should go to a friend's house and puke all over their house. So I was like,
never,
I will stay here.
That's never a positive thing.
Yeah, I don't really want to do that, but I don't remember. Exactly. And also, I think I puked up guacamole, which is like one of my favorite foods, which really irritated me.
Never should puke up guacamole.
It was horrible.
I love guacamole. You should never do that.
I know. It was so delicious, though, but it was like, I guess it just, I don't know, it just didn't sit well with my stomach. But maybe it was like a temperature thing. Maybe, I don't remember what I did that day, but maybe I went outside and I was in the sun or like I swam. I don't know. Something. It's always something.
It's always something. And it's always the Carolyn's News. Kick it.
All right, guys. Well, a grand announcement, even though it was kind of a soft launch, an impulse launch. I have joined Patreon. And for those of you who don't know what Patreon is, I can spell it out for you. It's Patreon, patreon.com/Carolyn. Carolyn is my page. Patreon is... I'm still trying to figure it out exactly because I just started it within the past 24 hours. And it is a site where you can pledge. It's like Kickstarter, but it's not Kickstarter. It's a Kickstarter. Like Kickstarter is more about projects to get one project done. Patreon is for people that are constantly creating. So it's kind of like a tip jar. That's the way I envision it. It's a month-to-month tip jar. So, you know, let's say you want to pledge a dollar a month. You can put in a dollar a month. That's $12 a year to, like, fund any, like, my paper or my supplies or just any extra costs that might come into creating Curls or creating any of the other comics that Joe and I are making. Because we are in the process of
Am I included on the Patreon?
Well, it is under my name. It can only be under, like, one person's account. But, did you want to be on it?
No, I didn't know if that was a thing. I didn't know if that was a thing.
Okay. Well, I just put it under my name because I usually handle that stuff. And, right now I have one stretch goal starting out because the first tour date we have is Tidewater Comic Con in Virginia Beach. And this is the first time Joe and I have been at that show. It's May 21st and 22nd. That's our first 2016 tour date. And, you know, I already had spent $150 on the table, but I did some mathematics and found out that it's going to cost around $50 for gas. You know, it's going to be a 400 mile plus trip. I think it's like 420 miles trip to get there and back and forth. So that's a round trip. And that estimates to be like, you know, a little bit below 50. But I want to aim for $50 as like our first stretch goal of Patreon. And just putting that out there, maybe it will help fund the tour because we do like to meet people in person. So that is, you know, something that Curl Studio prides itself on by not just hiding behind the internet, but actually like meeting people face to face, shaking hands.
We never hide.
Smile to smile.
I think that's the main thing is that like we don't really, we don't hide behind the internet. And when you mean that, I take that as a, we don't hide behind a bunch of false words or an identity that's not us. It's, you know what I mean? We're not falsely showboating a small activity. You know, everything that Curl Studio does is not self-indulgent. It's really, we want to make something for everyone out there to, you know, to be hopefully be inspired by that, make their day happier. We're not just doing this for our own vanity, you know, and I feel like that's the biggest evil in this day and age is people's vanity. You know? I got a massive amount of that, but I feel like in this day and age, we live in the age of the, you know, this the most. The,
everyone gets their 15
we,
minutes.
It's,
of fame.
It's like we're on the war of vanity at this point, you know. And I want to fight back by just creating stuff that means something. That means something. That's not about just. It's not about likes or it's not about me. You know what I mean? I can write and do stuff that's all about me, but I feel like, you know, I want to tell stories and I want to do something that actually like means something out there, that means something to people. That's not just like an ass. It's not just titties or it's not just a selfie or some shit, like some bullshit like that. You know what I mean? And that is my personal and professional opinion. Is whatever you post, that's what you're promoting. So a selfie, you're fucking selling yourself, you know?
Yeah. Well, we do live in the land of selfies. I very rarely post it. If there happens to be some cool place that I'm at, yeah, maybe I might do that. But I'm not the type of person that's just like, my hair looks good, I'm going to take a picture of myself in the car.
Well,
because I just glanced up at myself and I look good and I have to show off to everybody.
But again, that's just like, that's what they're selling. You know what I mean? They're selling them. They're prostituting themselves. That's what it is, and that's what they're prostituting out there. It's okay. I'll use that word. That's what it is.
But you know what?
Selling a product. A product is their face. There it is.
Joe, some people do have a good hair day, and they just want to be happy about that.
Absolutely, totally cool with that. So that's what they sell.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that at all.
So back to the Patreon again. It's patreon.com/Carolyn. And it would be great if you enjoy this show. You can give a dollar. You can give. There's different levels. I just kept it at some minimum levels. A dollar, you know, is pretty much just a straight-hearted thank you. $5, you get some behind-the-scenes sketches, and then it can go up to 10 or 25 or however much you want to give a month. And we really thank you for your support because, you know, it helps the little odds and ends. Because I've been supporting Curl Studio for the past several years. And investing in ourselves, and we've been doing pretty well. But also I want to give back. You guys can check out behind the scenes sketches that I won't post anywhere else. So, you know, for a little donation, you get to see stuff that is about the process. And I think that that's kind of cool. If you're interested in us and follow us, I think that would be fun to see.
Maybe that's what we should do. We should just post everything on the Patreon. Anything actually that's just cool from now on. Just like promote that. Like, oh, you want to see it? Just sign up for the Patreon. Why not?
But then the thing is we need to get people to sign on to pledge.
Yeah, exactly. All the content,
So basically, we'd be putting everything behind a paywall.
What if that's just the way it is now? What if that's you want to listen to the whole episode? Go to the Patreon.
What if we put like the first half out there, but then it's like then at the end it's like if you want to listen to the rest, you have to pay for the whole episode.
Or just take a quote. This is what we talk about. Patreon.
I still feel
Why
like
not?
We have
just,
to build.
Just go it. Go all the way.
I still feel like we have to build the audience. Like I feel like there's not enough craving out there to do that. Because there are some people that already have a fan base. There are a few people on Patreon that have like several thousand dollars they're getting a month, and they've worked really hard to build up their fan base and get to that level. Like I'm personally not expecting anything like that. I would be happy if we made the $50 to pay for gas to go to a convention.
I'm
not setting my standards low. I'm just seriously like being realistic.
But also me being realistic at the same time is like I don't expect anything out of anyone.
I'm saying.
And this is just me shooting for real. And I'm always shooting for real on the podcast. I am always telling it like how like the first thought and the honest thought that flows throughout me. I almost feel like people aren't going to pay for shit. You know, they just don't do that. Specifically, people that we know. You know what I mean? People close to us. So we're like, they're not going to do anything
like that.
And that's not wrong.
I would never rely on family or friends
exactly.
to pay for my creative pursuits. You know,
I never rely on family or friends even to promote, even to do anything like that. So it's like we got to hit this weird anomaly of like a spark outside of that. Which has always been the goal. Even when I make movies, it's like, oh, cool. Like, you know, my best buddy thinks it's cool. Or he thinks like, oh, yeah, like, I can make a movie, too. Mm-hmm. But, like, the end of the day, it's like, well, that person, they're already in the comfort zone. They got their own shit. We got to branch. You know, we got to exceed that, you know?
Yeah.
We got to exceed. We got to cross those walls. We got to go across the moat and get the people we don't know. We hit the other cities.
And that's all part of doing the conventions and just being out there and recording the podcast every week. And we've been trying to do that. So I think everything is building towards that. And that's like the most we can really hope for, you know, and just hope that it catches on with people and that they're willing to open their wallet. I mean, it seems like, you know, people can be like, oh, $1 a month, I can do that. But some people don't.
But
you know?
They don't. They legit don't.
I mean, if you stick with it for a year, it's $12. So that's like the cost of Chipotle and a drink.
That is
know?
My thought on the people of the human race these days. Is that it's the way the society is. They just don't fucking care, man. They just really don't fucking care. They do not want to. They unless they're getting something. They just don't freaking care. And if that's me being mean towards the world, then maybe they should prove me wrong. You know what I mean? I know, and this is my own vanity, is I've gone out of my way to help other people, to do shit for them, and I've been relegated to nothingness because of that. Mm-hmm. And I call bullshit on that. But I'm still going to keep doing it because it's my passion. But like so many times, man, so many times. What's going on?
I understand.
What's going on?
So earlier in the show, I did reference a quote of like your 15 minutes of fame, and that's made famous by Andy Warhol, who said that everyone will get their 15 minutes of fame. And something that I've wanted to talk about on the show for a while, but haven't like figured out a way to like bring it up exactly, because always other topics jump in the way. And so it's a little old. It's about a year old, a lot of this news. But I did get in a conversation recently with somebody that brought this artist up. So, Joe, are you familiar with Richard Prince?
I am not.
So
sorry, I had to pull up to the chair.
Yeah. You might have heard of him online because he did. What?
I don't, man.
He did.
Online.
I don't know. You might have heard of him. So what he did.
I would like to cut this line that is online, if that's possible. I'd like to cut the cord on this online.
Cut the cord.
If it was possible. I'm not going to lie, man.
Like a year ago, he had this exhibit And again, like, not all my facts are, you know, I read a few articles, but I'm not like a historian that memorized all these details. So he had this exhibit where basically, you know, in rough format, what he did is he took screenshots of other people's Instagram photos and blew them up to a very large poster size. And he basically didn't really do much to the photos to alter them. But what I do know that he did is he added a little comment at the bottom. And most of his comments were like a little...
That was his comment?
A little obnoxious commentary about it. So it wasn't the comment.
It wasn't the comment that was already on the...
I think there might be some that were already on it, but then he's always the last one. You know, they show like maybe like three of it. Yeah, he gets the final word. So basically, imagine taking a screenshot of some Instagram photos that you like and then just adding a line of commentary at the bottom with your name.
Yeah.
And, you know, blowing them up big to poster size and then selling them at these galleries. And apparently I think he sold most of them or all of them, if not all of them. He was selling them for $90,000 each.
That's great.
Yeah. But he did not inform the people that he took screenshots of, and he made money off of their likenesses and their face.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm still deciding if I have an issue with this, because on one hand, I'm like, from an artist's perspective, well, honestly.
First plan of thought, did they sell?
Yes.
Then,
and they sold, in my opinion, $90,000 for a printout of an Instagram picture is very expensive.
Well, what are you supposed to do? Logistically, it's an art piece. You know, you make something inspired by this, copied by that. You don't really know if it's going to sell. So a lot of times you do price it that high because you're just like, if
and
they
I'm
do
sure
buy it,
the
fuck
gallery
it.
Gets a cut, because when you get into this high-end art stuff.
Of course, they always get the cut. There's always someone getting that cut, right?
There are some galleries I have exhibited at where my piece has sold and I have earned 100% of the money back, which is great.
And then that gallery's
but
not
again,
around anymore.
But again, I'm not selling my pieces for $90,000. Like, yeah. I just don't... It's not that I don't value myself, but it's like, I just don't... I think that's astronomical, you
know?
Yeah,
but here's
like,
the thing, though. You can price it whatever you want. It's not your fault that they buy it.
That's... True.
It's not your fault.
But who
it's
are
not
these
your fault.
People?
You know, Goodwill Hunting. It's not your fault.
Who are these people? That's another question I had while thinking about this topic. Who are these people that are buying these $90,000?
Where are you
going to
put it?
Of an Instagram.
You gonna have someone's face like up on your wall? Was it someone's face or just some random
most
thing?
Most of them were. I guess they were faces.
Yeah. So you got to think about that.
But they were interesting photos that he, as far as like an aesthetic of curation, he did pick interesting photos. I think one of them was a Suicide Girl photo. And so that's like a pretty big organization that he's basically stealing from. And, you know, I did hear, I heard a quote, you know, since college that's like, good artists create, good designers steal, you know, well, something like that.
I feel that, you know, I think everyone should get their credit. Everyone should get their cut, the proper amount of cut. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Like, so in this regard, are you asking me, is it wrong that he did that?
Without telling. So would you be upset if there was like, let's say a photo of yourself, not a photo that you took because you are a photographer as well, but a photo that you took of yourself and had it up on your Instagram. And then let's say somebody took that content.
Would I be upset if someone took that?
Just by adding a comment and then blowing it up big and printing it out and selling it for $90,000.
And then not getting a cut?
Yeah.
Well, not getting my cut will pretty much make me pissed off about that, because, again, it's my property. It's my face without, you know, it's stealing my identity pretty much without my use or mm-hmm. without my approval, and then being made, you know, being basically being sold off. My image is being sold off without my approval. Yeah, I'll be pissed off. I would want a cut off of that. But think about this. If I were to disapprove, if I were to say no before that got out, then no one would be making any money if it got bought.
Mm-hmm.
So in that case, it's almost like, you know, shoot first, ask questions later type thing.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, you know, I guess the key for that was the one, I guess, make a statement. But then another one was to make money off of that. And if you were to, how would you know that you would make that money? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like beforehand, if you're just like, no, don't use my image, then people are like, well, you probably just left money on the table then, didn't you? If they were to buy that. So there's those two ways of going at it. And then you'd like to So like the most obnoxious part is not getting a cut. That's a massive obnoxious part. You know, you can actually sue someone for that. You know, so that's to me that's a big deal. No one's getting what they're worth. Some people should be always getting what they're worth. If you want to use a song in a movie or a show, you got to get the royalty rights from the actual artist, right?
Mm-hmm. You can't just take it.
Yeah. Then again, so you're double stealing at this point because you're taking an image that's probably already owned by Instagram, which is also owned by Facebook, and which is of course anything you upload on those you don't own. You know?
Yeah, that's another issue I do want to get to.
But why is it an issue?
Because, on most of my images, I do put a little tag on it, a little bug that has my URL or my autograph or something, so people know that I created that image, especially the illustrations, because I'm creating that with my hand and with my heart and with my brain.
At the end of the day, if I put a release on the wall of a location saying, by walking into this location, you waive your rights to be photographed, and we're allowed to use your images for whatever it is. And if you walk through that door, you're fair game. Now, when you went to Facebook and you posted that, you knew it was fair game. Or I guess lots of people did not know it was fair game, and why they did not know that you're fair game? Because they didn't fucking read.
But
they just thought, oh, I got an invite, it's all late. You know, it's like saying, it's like where people go to the in party, right? You're like, I'm invited to the in party, not knowing if you go into that, you're all going to have AIDS. You know, but like, I want to go where it's all in. So, you know, like, no one told you you're going to have AIDS because you didn't want to check. You didn't check the people that were already diagnosed and walking in there and freaking having an orgy and shit. You wanted to be where everyone was. And with that, people, now that once people are in the party, they're like, I didn't know there's going to be all, they shouldn't really do that. Yeah, but you should have checked the door. You should have asked the doorman.
So I knew that Instagram owned the photos, and I was kind of hesitant to join it. Instagram in the beginning, because I was like, oh, so they own everything.
Well, but
then I kind of just like hoard up, and I was like, well, I want to promote and I want people to know about my work, and this is like if you're not on Instagram, you're missing a large chunk of people that might not be on Twitter or Facebook.
Well, I'd like to believe that, like, if they own it, right? I'd like to still believe that they have the honor to say it, to tell you we're going to use your image.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've seen their images promoted on Tumblr. You can what's going on Instagram now, you know, and stuff like that. I'd like to think that maybe the way they're going at it too is that, like, you know, it's like, yeah, we can use your image, but you're still going to be credited for that. So you do have a credit, you know?
Yeah.
So there's that thing. There's that. I feel like there's a bit of honor involved in that, that they should still, you know, you still give credit and you should still have permission, but we still own it. So we're just being honorable towards that. You know what I mean? You can say no, but then they can also be like, well, sorry.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
So back to Richard Prince, when you do some research on him, he's been around for a while, and you may remember the Marlboro Man. I don't think he's used in advertising as much anymore. But
was he on my shirt? My red shirt?
That's from a stock company, but it does look like the Marlboro Man, but it's not exactly him.
Okay.
Well, Marlboro Man is a cowboy that was used for selling cigarettes, and there was a lot of photographs back, you know, more when, I guess, the time of, there was more publications and more magazines, you'd always see a Marlboro Man advertisement for cigarettes, like, in every one, like, growing up. I haven't seen them in a while. And they also, you know, back, you know, 15, 20 years ago, there was even, like, the Camel was selling cigarettes. And you'd always see Newport. You'd see tons of cigarette ads, and now I don't see them as often. But if you do remember the Marlboro Man, Richard Prince did a series where he basically took a photo of the ad. And it might have been like a crop in on a certain part of it, not the full ad. And then he said that was his image. So basically, he's an artist who, I don't know what the technical term would be, and I don't want to use the word steal necessarily, but he'd what's a good word for this?
Well, let's think about this in the world of the documentary filmmaker too, right? Mm-hmm. So if you're going around, you're trying to do a documentary, and then you have to make it, it has to be real.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just fabricate stuff. You got to be in real locations and you're shooting actual things, right? Yeah. That's the people who shot the documentary. That's their image now too, right? Because that's part of their project.
I still think a documentary is different than what Richard Prince is doing.
Well, what's he doing?
He's just like taking other people's images. And I guess the main keyword here would be that I was looking for a few minutes earlier was is alteration.
Well, let's think about
like his way of altering it is like just taking a detail of part of it. And, you know, on one hand, I, as an artist, I'm like, dude, create your, like, okay, I have two sides of Richard Prince in my mind. One is from an artist perspective. It's like, dude, take your own photos. You don't have to take picture of someone else's photo. Like, that's kind of, it's kind of weaselly. You know, I'm more about, like, creating new stuff. But then from another angle, from, like, a totally out there, really conceptual art, thinking, artsy fartsy thinking, I'm like, oh my god, that's kind of brilliant, because it's like he's moderating his own content but based on what he sees. And yes, in a way he is stealing, but his alteration is so like minimal that it's clever.
Now, I've been on this podcast many times before, and I've been, I guess I can claim this now, as I've been art shammed in a way. Art shammed, because of because my perspective is I can take the good and the evil. You know what I mean? I can mix that. People are like, sometimes for over me being like, oh, it's that's the artsy way of thinking. That's so lame. You know what I mean? I'm like, fuck, then I'm lame. You know? But I always thought, like, in a way, that art, whatever you think art is also the development of a new idea. Or, you know, of like you're thinking of like the white on white. People are like, oh, that's so stupid. It's white on white. It's like, well, it's an idea, and it got put over.
Yeah.
Right?
And it actually went from being my worst favorite thing. Like, a few years ago, I was like, I don't even get that. Like, what is the appeal? That's so stupid. I could have made that when I was, like, in fifth grade. And then, like, to now, I'm like, I think that's one of the best ideas ever, which is so strange.
No, I think it's absolutely perfect. Because if you think about this, as a certain person's mindset, and I'm going to try to reverse psychology, all these things, is that, like, the reverse engineer, the mental mindset, the sociology of how this all works out, is that, you know, white on white is lame when you're, make, I don't know, guesstimate 16 or something like that, or in an early age. When an early-minded person, I guess. Not saying early mind is bad, but maybe the basic format of the brain is like you see white on white and you just comprehend, oh, that's white on white. I don't see effort in that. That's, you know, I don't see all the money on the page for that, or I don't see that. And that's completely understandable, because you know why?
You're not sophisticated.
Your palate isn't there, yeah. So, but also there becomes a time where it's the same thing when you listen to music and you're like, okay, I love this punky 3-chord music. That's awesome. That's awesome. That's awesome. Listen to it all day long. It's awesome. 5 or 7 years down, you're like, that's starting to fade away now. And then your mind is looking for a new idea, right? It's looking for something fresh. And then now that band that you music racist it before the punk rock, then you're like, you thought that was lame. Now you're like, let me listen to that again. Actually, it's a lot better, because now maybe your mind is ready for that.
You've matured, or
I don't know if it's matured, but maybe you just need that new flavor.
You need that taste.
Yeah, because maturity is that's just a bullshit term to me again.
I do think there is some level of maturity, though.
I think a maturity comes
a level of understanding.
Well, I think a maturity comes with the person who's putting the work into it too. Maturity, because sometimes, again, I believe we live in a world where so many words. And I probably do it too, where I abuse the fact that so many words are being misused and misdiagnosed in what their proper usage is. But, you know, so I feel like there's a time with maturity versus what maturity actually can be. Like, you can be, people say, like, mature, you're too old for that now. You know, when people can misuse that, like, aren't you supposed to be a mature person? You're supposed to be watching this. You should be acting like you're 60. That's what a mature person should be. And that's bullshit in a way, too, because that's, I like to believe that, like, you know, people whose thoughts are pushing those thoughts on someone, saying, like, you have to act old, you have to act this age, they're actually saying you got to act like them. And that, to me, is another peer pressure, another thing of saying, like, you need to act like me. And that's this them pushing their vanity on you, saying, like, oh, since you're not acting like how I was supposed to be acting, I'm going to say you have to act like this, because I feel like shit if I don't do it. But that person's not acting like me. If they're not acting like me, they're obviously not mature. And that's bullshit.
So what do you think of his art, though? Like, taking a photo of a photo that already exists?
I think it's balls, man. There's a lot of balls in doing it. If no one did it before, like this, like saying, ideas, art, get those freaking ideas out there. It's not up to you if it's good or bad. It's an idea, put it out there. It's not your fault if people buy it, right?
And he has been sent to court before. I don't know I don't know all the procedures that have been in the past, but
Art will go to court.
They have, I guess, documented that. There are rules. I'm not a legal expert, but my personal belief in my mind that I made up.
That's all that matters, man.
Is that you can, I want to be like influenced by stuff, but I don't want to like straight up copy, because to me that seems like a fraud for me personally.
Well, it's like, just not original.
Yeah, I want to be original. I want to be inspired by people and other artists, but I want to mix it up a little bit, like take a little element and then like, you know, make it my way.
Yeah,
and
because
just be inspired, like say, I love this color palette. Like I'm going to take this blue. I really love this blue that they're using, and then I'll use the blue, but it totally will look different. I'm just taking one color.
Yeah.
So like that's the type that I personally like to, I guess, mold. And I don't even, you know, it's not stealing. It's just like being inspired by a color, for example. That's like the limit that I personally will go on. Some people can take it further. Like,
you're getting inspired by life, though. Because it's not like you took that. It's not like you took the painting and then you made the exact same painting. You traced it.
Because it's already been done.
You took the color that you were inspired by, what you experienced in life. During life, when you're living, you're connected to that color, and then it wasn't, you know what I mean? Then you took that color and put, and then like basically used that in your inspiration.
Yes.
It wasn't just like, I need to take this whole exact thing
and redo it. Yeah. So my thing is like, again, I'm not a lawyer, but when you repurpose something, in my opinion, I want it to be altered 60%. And I don't know like what the books say on all of these things. I don't know the law.
40%.
So yours is 40%?
No, this...
Is it 40? Okay, because I knew like
I've heard
the 40...
it was 40%.
Okay, maybe it's 40, because there's
I might,
like that whole
I might be
40,
wrong.
60 thing.
I might be wrong, but it's okay to be wrong if someone knows a better number.
And you... And we both might be wrong, but yeah, it might be 40. I don't know. It's like 40, 60, one of those breakdowns. Either way, you can't just take something and then print it out and be like, oh, I made this. So that's why he has that comment at the bottom of the Instagram. So he's adding on to it.
That, but I think, is the most crucial point. If he didn't put a comment on there, that's just fucking straight up like forgery. And that's what's it called? Exploitation. Yeah. Because like really, like to me, you know, to me, when you're writing a song, right? Mm-hmm. And you only have... Yeah, even though you got the song could be 15 or so minutes, right? 15 or so minute long. But then at the end, they're like, we need to have a lyric on it, right? We need to have the best lyric that'll just, you know, put the bullseye, the period at the end of the sentence.
Yeah.
But it's a 15-minute song, so we busted our ass. But if you don't have those words, and those words can only be 120 words. Those words can only be 120 words, right? So they better mean something. So it's like you're actually, in a way, you're judging the importance of these words. So if anything, more thought could have been put into those words than the actual thought of those selfies. So how do you measure that? But only people can only count words. And if it's not a lot of words, then they're like, oh, there's not a lot of effort there. Just of course, when it comes to like, even when people are like, when the people see cartoons, they're like, well, if it's not crazy cross-hatching or if it's like real life, there's not a lot of effort. But just because there's the least amount of words doesn't mean they probably didn't think about that for like a super long ass time, or it doesn't mean something. But maybe those words is actually what changes the idea of the image, though, right?
Yeah, and
I'll just talk a mile a minute. Sorry.
Well, I do think the whole thing is very interesting because, like I said, I'm kind of split. On one hand, I'm like, dude, take your own images. Don't use other people's.
But that's not the point, though, right?
It isn't, but it is kind of frustrating to know that it's sold for that much. And maybe it's a jealousy thing.
He didn't know.
He must have priced it.
Who are these people? Yeah, if you're going to be like, I personally feel, because like for me, the artwork that I put out, that I was just like, whatever, just put a 600, or, you know, put a big ass number, because I didn't give a fuck. I was like, if they're going to buy it, then might as well just buy it. If they're going to take this off my hands, they might as well just spend that. Mm-hmm. It's not my fault. You can't pressure. I mean, yeah, you can, but you can't. I feel like you can't logistically really, really force
somebody into
buying something for that. You can put that number out there and you can hope.
And if I'm, I could be wrong, but I do believe like one of the top museums purchased one of his.
Good, because museums are for recording.
But from, okay, from another, okay, now I'm going to come in from a third perspective. Because
isn't the Library of Congress,
artist,
isn't the Library of Congress like recording all tweets or something like that, or whoever's doing it?
I'm sure someone is.
It's the same shit. That's another museum.
Everything can be preserved.
Yeah.
So from another perspective of like, maybe, I don't want to say it's jealousy because I don't necessarily want to create the art that he's making. But like, you know, there are people out there that are artists that are trying really hard and like, they might have gallery shows. And again, with that 60-40%, there is, I guess, like something where the artist can make, each gallery is different, but like, let's say you have your painting for sale, the artist can make 60%, but then the gallery makes 40%, which is an enormous amount because you're taking up space on their wall. It's like, you know, it's like real estate. And so if you're going to sell your picture, the gallery is going to get 40%. So that's why a lot of this art is very expensive. Because the artist has to survive. But there's so many starving artists out there. But then you see this guy and he's like multimillionaire. And he lives in a house that's like almost $5 million. I read about that on Wikipedia. Let's, but it's like, you know, he lives in a over $4 million house. And I think that's what it was. But it was something like, it's like, dude, this guy, like on one hand, I'm like, good for you. You're making it. You're being prominent. You're making people talk about you, which is
that's
amazing.
Really what it is, man. Right?
Yeah.
Well, let's think about this too. Okay, so it wasn't just some nobody who did that.
No, because he's been doing it for several decades.
Well, that's the first step. So if it was just some sort of jabroni, I mean, because really at the end of the day, you know, when you see an Instagram post, right? Then there's comments. That's pretty much what he did.
Mm-hmm.
He did an image, and he did his own comment, and then how big was the image? That
is pretty big. See, you know, it's like a poster.
See, to me, I feel like that's where it really comes in. Like when you showcase like your work, that size is really important. The size, like if you go and make giant wall size images of curls or any character in that, that to me, once you reach that real life, you know, like, you know, superhuman size, to me that becomes
like a float at the parade.
Yeah, that becomes like this massive statement as opposed to just like I'm just reading it online in the deletable society, but now it's like the size of a wall. Here's
now
toast on
exists.
The side of the wall. Which would be a freaking great idea, actually. If you have that, because then that becomes like a moment. Like you share, like the people who look at that thing, like that's what's cool about when you go to galleries and when you see these giant paintings as opposed to like you go to an art history book or anything like that or online and you see it just like whatever size on the screen. Because to me, at this point, anything that we see, unless it's just me, you know, being real, I'm going to be real. Anything on this screen, on a computer screen, on a phone screen, when I look at that, it's just all fucking fake. It's just all fucking fake. No matter what, it's just fucking fake. It's just fucking fake. People who put their shit out there, it's fucking fake.
So he made the Instagrams real.
He made it real, and then he put his comment on there, and they made it to, he made it apparently a size that now when a person stands in front of it, it's real. It's a real personal. Now it's like people can like have a personal moment with it. Mm-hmm. I feel like there's no fucking personal moments on the internet or on any screen at this point. You look at this shit on the screen, you look at your computer screen, it's not real. It's fake. It's all just, it's nothing to me at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'll get some flack for that, but whatever. You guys can, you know, you can do, you know, truth sham. You can do some truth shamming to me. Truth sham. But that's how I feel like. Like when you see an image there, it's there. But it's not there at the same time. And that's really this world we live in now. But when you do print it out.
As far as social media goes, yes.
No, just everything. Anything on
the
computer.
No, but there are some things on the computer that are helpful. Like people look up the weather or they look up traffic.
Yeah, but
or
you can see the weather.
A direction.
You can see it and you can see how it's going, but it's not real until
you go
feel
outside.
It. You see it. The same thing with directions. And you're not really at the location. You see the Google Maps, you see those images, but it's not anything until you're actually there. So I feel like now just anything in the screen, it's just a fake.
I feel like people aren't even real living in real life because I'll see people walking on the street looking at their phone. They don't want to. But they're not like looking around. And I'm not saying just for like the healthcare and just like for actually walking across the street and paying attention to your and not getting run over by a car. I feel like they're just really not present. It's like, hello, you know, when people
because
throw a hand up in front of the
at this
face.
Point, people have been so, you know, mentally trained to want to escape reality Because I guess that's their own commentary on the world. The real world is so hard and so difficult, and they don't want to deal with it. But though they can go out and live in this fake world, and you know, and that's, I'm not saying that that's wrong. That's perfectly fine. People love doing that. People, that's great for people. You know what I mean? That's absolutely fabulous. Go ahead and do that. I'm not saying don't do that, but me personally, it's fucking fake. I'm getting tired of fake. I'm getting tired of, I'm this pursuit of truth is really what's happening now. And to see
the,
that.
The truth will set you free.
Yeah, I guess.
But people at least, over there, what's up?
But at least it'll be something that means something, you know? I don't know. It feels like such a...
But you would be offended if somebody stole your image and sold it for a large amount of money and you didn't get a cut.
Yeah, period. I didn't get a cut. How much my cut is negotiable.
But what if you didn't want to share your image with people? I guess you wouldn't put it up on the internet anyway.
There you go. Know? Yeah. Like, you know.
So basically, once you,
like you
release
said,
it,
like
it's,
you said,
it's gone.
Like
it's,
you said,
it's not yours anymore.
You've been saying this. You've been saying this for years. And this is a quote from Cooney. You know, and I know that this is true. You put your image out there. There's no getting it back. There's no fucking getting it back. You know, there's no getting it back. I have many friends and many amazing friends that are working computers and like developers and stuff like that. They'll get your image back. You delete it? No. It's coming back. That's some bullshit. People think they can delete stuff. No. It's never just
and
like
it's just not
like
just
you can't
images.
Unsee.
It's also
commentary. Yeah,
anything you put in
like
there.
Like what we're saying now. This is a documentation of being
forever.
Real right now.
You can't take it back.
You can't take it back. That's the world we live in. That's why sorry is a bullshit phrase, because that doesn't erase anything. That just makes the person who says it feel better.
Yeah, but there are times where you really do want to apologize.
But then do it physically. Do it with actions. Do it with learning. That's apology. Apology is activity. And, you know, that's just how it is.
Well,
there are
some really stubborn people that, like, you know, for whatever reason, you have a closer relationship with them and, you know, you do something or you say something or whatever. Either way, you make someone upset. There are some people, certain personalities out there that will not accept an apology.
And
just,
I am one of those people.
I am one
of those people.
I don't think you're one of these
take,
people because you're...
I don't take
I'm,
an apology.
Wait. You didn't let me finish. So what I'm saying is, like, there are some people that completely shut down.
What was it? What did Bernie Sanders say? Talk. I'm talking? Or what was it?
Be quiet. I'm talking. Don't interrupt me. What I'm trying to say is that there are some people that will get offended at what their friend says and... Like, extremely, if not just like, a, you know, one common thing, but just something hits them and they will not accept an apology and they will stop talking to the other person completely and act like they're not in their life anymore.
You know, it's so.
And there are people out there that it's like, it is hard to break through to apologize. And then at that point, the relationship's kind of damaged because the other person wants nothing to do with them.
You know, what's even more amazing is that people can totally be feuding with each other or totally at ends of each other and not even interact.
Yeah.
They can just stop interacting and that already means they hate each other.
It's just silence.
You know, it's like, oh, this person used to like all my stuff, but then they stopped. Now they're not doing anything anymore. What happened? Well, I'm not talking to them. Well, it's like, what? You know what I mean? It's like no one even wants to step up to anything. So that's the world we live in now.
Yeah.
That's the world we live. We live in a world where you're supposed to like stuff. Right? Mm-hmm. Everyone's supposed to get the consultation prize of liking stuff. And then if you don't, then something's wrong. But then we live in a world where we don't want to ask questions or make it any better.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's another, we live in a bullshit world that in that sense that people are trained like that. No one wants to, and then we also live in a world where divorce rates are so high that relationship breaks are so easy and that they mean nothing. So it's like, All this just created this society in which nothing means shit. That's why we got to make stuff that means something.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's really what a major goal of mine is to do. And it's hard to strike that chord with everybody that it really hits with everybody. Because sometimes, you know, as a cartoonist, I'll just get like a little joke that, you know, it's like one of those things that you just look at for 2 seconds and smile. And maybe that might help somebody in the day. I don't know if it will like change the world, but it's a little commentary, just a little wink, you know, and that can be exciting sometimes. But then sometimes you do want to take it further and you do want to, you know, do something that's bigger than yourself rather than just a fun joke about a celebrity, you know, like last week I did like my Donald Trump because I've had that idea in my head since like August, and I was like, man, everyone is drawing their Donald Trump variations. I need to put mine out there. And now it's not mine anymore, but it was fun. It gave a few people like a chuckle, and I don't know where else that's going to go, but it's out there. And but I still feel like I can create more better stuff, but it was just something fun to do for an hour. And maybe that's all it was meant to be. But then, you know, from that working artist perspective and thinking about this Instagram artist, and knowing that he sold prints for $90,000 each, it does kind of like put a small bitterness in my mouth, because maybe, you know, and I'm not necessarily jealous of him. I don't want, like I said, I don't want his life and all that. It would be nice to have $90,000, but like, I just feel like it's kind of priced really high. And but then who's to say what everything is worth? Whereas like everybody else is just like putting their art online for free.
But also,
and, I don't know, it's just like,
if you say he already had a name value going into it,
yes,
people are probably buying also for the name as well.
I think that's what it was.
So it's not just like, you know, some jabroni can go out there and do that. It is his name and his commentary on there. So that means something, you know? So it's like if a Picasso or James Jean doing something like that, it could be James Jean's worst drawing, but someone wants to own. You see that on eBay too. You know, you see these little, you know, small ass sketches that, you know, artists do or comic artists, and then people are still like, oh, you know, whatever. It's a piece of them. Yeah, it's like it's something. So that goes to say that well as well, you know.
I mean, I just am, I don't know. Maybe I'm just ranking it too much, like in my personal viewpoint. But I know a lot of really great artists who have not sold their work for $90,000.
But also, you know, I don't know how to rate a great artist. You know, I'm just saying
artists I enjoy that, like, you know, I think they're really great. It's hard to really rank, like, to be like, oh, this is the best. You know, it's more of like what you enjoy.
I feel like that's the main thing, is that like you should support. I don't even think you should support. You should get behind artists that really inspire you. You know what I mean? Instead of like these frauds out there, instead of like, you know, all this bullshit with the Kardashians and Kanye or any one of the Caitlyns and any of that stuff, they're not in it to help people. I almost feel like in my heart, and maybe they may say they are, and then maybe they might, they're probably not even going to get to this, not going to listen to this podcast and think that, but I highly doubt that they're, that the people that they're trying to help is beyond themselves.
Well, you are a Kanye fan, so it's surprising me that you're actually acknowledging this now.
What? Like that's what all of his music has always been about.
All about himself.
But yeah, and that's you know, and then listening to his music, that's pretty much what I get.
I mean, like
his music is based on him commentating his commentary towards the world. Yet it spilled over, you know, that maybe that's why where he's had so much built up that, you know, you can do that, but it represents everything.
So another thing that I guess I found really interesting about this Richard Prince thing, to wrap it up, is that he's basically taking something of something of something. And everything is just now becoming a Xerox of a Xerox of a Xerox. Because, you know, I had a class that involved Xerox stuff. So when you take a Xerox, make a Xerox of it, and then keep making a Xerox of another Xerox, you're getting a different generation of each Xerox, and each Xerox is going to get degraded.
Like Bizarro.
And it's going to just, you know, the quality is going to go downhill each time you Xerox a Xerox.
Yeah.
And I feel like that is a metaphor for what Richard Prince is trying to get out of. Maybe I call him Prince because of his prints, but anyway, but Richard Prince is trying, or Price because of his money, but Richard Prince is basically taking a copy of something that someone's already did, and I think that that is interesting in terms of, like, with the internet now, people are taking what cartoonists are doing, and then even taking out their names, and then they might even put in their own site, even though they didn't even create it.
That part's bullshit.
And that is really irritating.
That's stealing.
But you know how they're still when you reblog something, or, you know, on Twitter when you retweet something, or on Facebook when you share it again. Like, I feel like, you know, you see like some of these major viral activities, you know, they're getting like thousands and thousands of reshares, and every day there's like a new story that comes out that's like, oh my god, did you hear about that, what that plumber did in that house? You know, it's like some outrageous thing that happened. Like, then 75 million people share it and everyone sees it and there's no way around it. And isn't that like basically a Xerox of a Xerox of a Xerox from back when I had that project in college? Like, yeah. It's still like, I find it very interesting.
It's the he said, she said, you know, it's just like how word travels, how the story changes by the time it gets
like
to
a
you.
Telephone.
Yeah.
But I don't think the story is necessarily changing. I just think it's just
the opinions of the people who put it on there, their opinion on that can change
the
story itself.
When it gets to that level, though, where like thousands and thousands and thousands of people are like sharing and repeating, and it does kind of, on one hand, it's awesome because you're like, whoa, this story or this piece of art is spreading and that's really great. But then it kind of does degrade the value because now everyone's seen it, everyone's been with it. You know, like,
it's true. It's been used up like a freaking prostitute, man.
Then the next day there's another thing that will come and replace it. So it's the cycle of like, you know, 24/7 news cycle, social media and art now that's kind of like being abused to a certain extent.
It's burning out fast, right?
Yeah, and it burns out very fast.
Everything burns out so fast.
And then
these
that's
days.
The 15-minute, and then that's the Andy Warhol, and also Andy Warhol. You know, like, there's things about him that he didn't take his photos, and then he's, like, using other people's photos. And even with, like, the tomato soup can, like, his mom originally had that idea, so he's, in a way, he's kind of, like, taking the idea from his mom. Maybe he was inspired by his mom, you know, and he definitely was. So, you know, it's still a Xerox of a Xerox of a Xerox. So now, in my head, I'm like, oh, Xerox of a Xerox is awesome, and white on white is awesome. So, you know, like, there's that dynamic that I personally think is really interesting, but I also think it's very irritating at the same time. So that's why I'm kind of in this, like, purgatory of art right now, personally. Not on the stuff that I create, but on the stuff that I see. I want to be more inspired. I want to feel it. I want to see art that, like, really changes. And I don't know. I know it's out there, but since everything's getting repetition... it's a little much right now, and I just want to see some fresh stuff. What do you think, Joe?
No, let's end the show. I've been telling you what I think all the whole entire show.
I know.
And there you go, ladies and gentlemen. That's the show of this week. EstrateProductions.com, JoeCarabello.com, OneShots, OneHyphenShots.com, MondayMistress.com. Don't forget Curls, curls-studio.com/curls. Also, KarenBolewski.com. Check us out on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, CarolynJoeShow.com world. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
Go out there, be original. Let them know, Carolyn.
You're bona fide.